pastor's not here, so be in prayer for him this week. He travels back late tomorrow night. So Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 9. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for the faithfulness of those here in Sunday school. Pray, Father, that you would just use me this morning. Pray that you give me the right words to say. Pray that you'd do all the talking for me and that you just touch my tongue. Pray that you'd be in the hearts of everyone here this morning, that we would desire to hear from you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, here in this passage, Joshua chapter 1, obviously we know it's a very familiar passage for those who've been in church for a while. And I want us to get something out of this passage this morning. And we're going to have to dig a little deep, right? So bear with me, get your shovels out, and let's dig together. But I want us to see from this passage this morning a love for the Word, a love for the Word. You know, have you ever loved something so much that you just couldn't wait till the next time you got to either do it or be with that person? Think about, we went to Silver Dollar City in Branson last summer for family vacation, and our kids had been on roller coasters before, but now that they're older, man, they just loved it. They kept on wanting to go back and forth on the roller coasters, and it was kind of rainy, so there wasn't very big crowds, and so they kept on going back on those roller coasters all the time. They loved them. Now, unfortunately, I love roller coasters. My body doesn't like them anymore for some reason. And I was like, oh, I love it. So I would need about 15, 20 minutes in between each one to kind of get my bearings, because after I'd get off of them, I'd start looking a little green, and then I'd be okay and get back on it, and then, you know, be green again, and then go back. But, you know, when you love something, you're willing to sacrifice something for it. And you know, and maybe a certain food. Now, I love all food, as you can tell. But I love, you know, Italian, Mexican, Filipino food. I love all of it. And you can tell because of the evidence of, you know, I'm a little overweight. So, but hopefully, that should be the same way for your spouse too, right? That you should desire to be with them, want to spend time with them. But here in this passage, the Lord commissioned Joshua for a specific purpose. And I want us to see that the Lord has that same commission for us. And that commission was to love the Word of God. And God's Word should be and is the basis for everything that we believe. So I want us to see this morning, first off, that a love for God's Word is based on the foundation of God's promises. We're going to look at a couple promises in this passage that really just show and reflect how Joshua had a love for the Word of God and how God wanted him to have that love for the Word of God. And I want us to see the first promise this morning is the promise of God's presence. The promise of God's presence. In verse 5, it says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then in verse 9, it says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, so God was reminding Joshua of his promises. And what a comfort to us that when we read the Bible, that we can be comforted of those same promises. And, you know, God delivers that promise, and when God shows us his promises, that's when we realize that we need him the most. You know, oftentimes whenever we're going through a trial or a hard time, we realize that, you know, when we try to face it on our own, we often fail. But when we reflect on the promises of God, guess what? He is a God of comfort. He's a God that is with us and has his presence. You know, and God keeps his word. I'm so thankful that God keeps his promises. You know, think about, you know, I've gotten to work with teenagers, you know, a lot of my life. And if you ever deal with kids from a broken home, you know, they're either with mom or dad. And a lot of the times if they're with, let's say they're with dad, and mom says, oh, guess what? I'm going to come and pick you up today, and we're going to go get ice cream. And the kid's all excited, and then all of a sudden, last minute, mom says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it. We're not going to be able to go get ice cream. That child is so disappointed. And even though it's just something small like that, they're still disappointed. And so I'm thankful that we have a God that we don't have to be disappointed with, that we can say, we can cling to his promise that he's always with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So God made that promise back to Joshua in the book of Joshua, but he still holds it true in Hebrews. And so it's that same principle today. And that word forsake has that meaning to not let go. Our kids have the opportunity to do jiu-jitsu. And they do it, it's just for fun. It's not like, you know, they've competed a couple times, but it's not like something that, oh, yeah, you have to be there every day doing it. But one thing that they learn in jiu-jitsu as they're going against an opponent is they have to have their grips, and they hold onto their opponent's gi, and they pull them down, trip them. And even when they have them on the ground, they're using their grips and their gi to try to choke them or force a submission. Well, that's the same principle. And the Lord has, when he says he's not going to forsake us, he has a hold of us. He's got us in our hands. And that in John 10:29, it says, my Father which gave me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you're in the presence of God, which he has promised, he's got a hold of you. He's going to take care of you. And he's not going to forsake you. And I'm thankful for the promise of his presence. You know, Joshua and the children of Israel, and you see in this passage, it says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now here, they've gone through a time of mourning. And it's a time of mourning where all they've known, because all the ones that just came out of Egypt had then died off, right? And here now you have all these ones, all they've known as a leader is Moses. And now Joshua is taking over. And here, they needed this promise. And Joshua needed this promise. But what's funny in studying this is this isn't the first time that Joshua's heard this. If you turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 31 with me. And this is Moses. This is Moses talking to the nation of Israel and to Joshua. If you look in verse 5, it says, and the Lord shall give them up before you. This is Deuteronomy 31, verse 5. The Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Look at this familiar wording here. Be strong and have a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. See, it's that reminder. The Lord's reminding Joshua, hey, Moses told you the same thing. I'm reminding you now. I'm still keeping my promise. I'm still keeping my promise that I'm going to be with you and I'm going to protect you. But I want to encourage us this morning to cling to that promise of God's protection, not his protection, but his promise of not forsaking us and his presence. You know, our prayer every day should be to have the presence of God. Lord, please be with me. Help me, strengthen me. But I also want us to see a promise of God's protection. And here, if you look in verse 3 and 4, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land, from the great sea, from the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not forsake thee." And so because God's with us, and he's reminding Joshua in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Be thou strong and very courageous." So he's with thee. "I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you." You know, God is so powerful that he will deliver some of the most powerful nations in their hands. I'm actually reading through the book of Joshua in my devotions, and there is over 30 kings that they end up defeating throughout their trek of the promised land, and God gave them deliverance each time. And I'm so thankful for God's protection. If you look at Numbers 13, we're not going to... Let's go there. For Numbers chapter 13, this is, again, something that should be very familiar to you. I'm just going to leave my marker here. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 26. And this is when the 12 spies went to spy on the land of Canaan. It says, and this is when they got back, it says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation," and this is verse 26 of Numbers 13, "the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and said unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And so I can just picture the 10 spies, because remember, 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 spies saying, "They have this, they have all this, they have all this food and all this fruit, and it's plenteous, but there's this site, there's giants, and there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and they're just, building up the people that it's so hard, it's going to be so hard, and there's this and this and this and this problem." But they forgot one promise. They forgot the promise of God's protection. And if you look here in verse 30, it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." And so I love the attitude and spirit of Caleb here. And he's like, "We'll be able to overcome it." So Caleb and Joshua took a stand here and said, "Hey, we're going to be able to conquer this land." And that's why they were able to go over. But if you look in chapter 14, the congregation, of course, is like crying, sobbing. They're weeping, and they murmured, and they said, "How the Lord just brought us from Egypt to throw us into this land with all these giants and people that are gonna, kill us." And it says in verse 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." They knew God's promise of protection. Hey, this is what the Lord wants us to do. This is the direction the Lord wants us to go. He's going to protect us from it. And what a promise that God has. And you know what? When we just dwell and think about the promises of God, that gives us a love for his word. You know what? When we're neglecting to be in our Bibles every day, guess what we're also not being surrounded by? The promises of God. And when we love the word, we have a desire to want to cling to the promises of God. You know, when we travel, often when we go on vacation, probably many of you do the same thing, When we get in the vehicle, the first thing that we do is pray. Lord, please protect us. Keep us safe on the road. Keep us safe as we travel. And you know why we ask him? Because we know he can answer it. His protection. You know, the same people in this, here in Numbers that saw all the plagues that God had brought on the Egyptians had forgotten about God's power. You know, the same God that sent all the plagues of Egypt, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that did all these wonders and protected them throughout the whole thing, they'd forgotten about his promise of protection. You know, I love in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, you know, the Lord has then told the people that they're not going to see the promised land. In verse 24 it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And so Caleb and Joshua took a stand there because they realized God's protection and that promise. You know, I'd want that same testimony. You know, if we're not in God's word, we're going to forget about his promises. But I also want us to see a love for God's word is displayed in our obedience to him. Displayed in our obedience to him. You know, in Deuteronomy 31, when we were there, Moses reminds Joshua, as we had looked at, to be strong and courageous. And God reminds him in Joshua 1. But then in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 25, here they had just had a big conquest of multiple kings that they had went out to battle. And they brought all the kings from those nations. And Joshua told the men to stick your foot on their neck. And he told them this. He told them, be strong and courageous. So here now Joshua is then reminding the people of the commandment that God gave him. See, the commandment here that he gave to Joshua, he said, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. That is a commandment from God that he told Joshua to be. And it wasn't, in God's eyes, it wasn't just a recommendation. You know, if you want to, Joshua, be strong and courageous. You know, you can let this go and let that go, you know. Only if you feel like being strong and courageous. But he told him, he said, be strong and be courageous. Because he knew that Joshua was going to have to face some hard times. He knew Joshua was going to have to face the consequences of Achan's sin in the camp. How would you like to be the leader that when you found out there was sin in the camp, that you had to then have him, not only him, but his entire family stoned? That would be, I wouldn't want to make that decision. I'm kind of a softie. I'm like, okay, well, the last thing you want to see is someone get hurt. But they disobeyed God. And it cost the lives of the children of Israel that went and battled up against Ai the first time. You know, Joshua, I want us to see this. Turn to Joshua chapter 23. We're gonna spoiler alert, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 23. And see, this is Joshua's final words to the nation of Israel. His final words. Joshua 23, and we're going to look at verse 6. Actually, we're going to back up to verse 5. This is even better. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Even the land of Canaan was a promise that the Lord had given them. And he says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. That looks very familiar. You know why? Because Joshua just obeyed God. And you know why he obeyed God? And he knew what God wanted him to do? It's because he was in his word. He had a love for God's word. And said, hey, I'm going to obey God because, hey, I know I just want to please God. You know, the last place I want to be is in a position where I don't want to please God anymore. And we've all seen people that have come through church that have maybe gone a different direction or maybe fallen into sin. And they want nothing to do with God anymore. And they've been disobedient. And you sorrow for them and you weep for them. But I would encourage you, don't be disobedient to God. Be in his word. You know what? When we're in God's word, guess what we have a harder time doing? Being disobedient to God. When we're in God's Word, we have it's easier to not fall into temptation. The Bible says, like, flee also youthful lusts, so that's a temptation of lust. You can quote that verse, memorize it, learn it, dwell on God's Word. And when we dwell on it and we obey it and we follow it, guess what? We are showing God that we love Him. You know, when you love someone, all you want to do is please them. We have a little mini golden doodle, and his name is Chipper, and he loves my wife. He adores my wife. Now, he likes the rest of us, too, but he will do anything for my wife. And do something, if he knows there's chicken involved, he's going to do it. And he just, all he wants to do, and he, my wife goes and sits on the couch, he's right there and just like leans up against her, okay, pet me. And he just loves her and adores her, and all he wants to do is please her. But we should be the same way. We should want to please our master. And how we please our master is by being obedient to him. Yep. You know, I'm so thankful that we have a God that loves us. But in return, we should love him. You know, love is a choice. Our world today will tell you otherwise, that love is just this emotional feeling, this mushy-gushy feeling that you get. But it's not. Love is a simple choice. And you choose whether you love God or not. You choose whether you're going to be obedient to him or not. You choose whether you're going to love your spouse. You choose whether you're going to love God's word. And we should be obedient. And just as, you know, Joshua, as you see in the book of Exodus, he followed Moses. He was close to Moses. And a good leader is also a good follower. And all Joshua did was just simply followed Moses as Moses followed God. And it's the same way with authority in our life. As we follow in the home, wives, kids, as your husband follows the Lord, you should follow him. As your pastor follows the Lord, you should follow him. And should be behind him and be obedient to what God says. I also want us to see that the Lord commands us the same thing. He not only commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he commands us as well. You know, in chapter 6, we saw the courage of Stephen and how he took a stand. And you know what he did in Acts chapter 7? He walked those that were putting him on trial, he walked them through the life of Moses, what the Lord had done, and the history of them. And God wants us to have a confidence in God's word. And he wants us to, you know, and that's what that word, strong and courageous, it means to have a confidence, to have a strong hold on God's word. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be obedient. But we gain that by spending time in it. We gain it. You know how we learn how to live daily? Is being in this book. And this is our instruction manual. And the Lord doesn't expect us to know every single word of it, but guess what? He expects us to know the principles. We should be memorizing it. You know, I love it when our children, you know, we homeschool our kids and they have the opportunity to memorize scripture. And I remember as a kid learning and memorizing scripture and how important that was and how it's been so helpful for me. And also, the Lord, you know, when he was tempted, what did he tell this devil? He used the Bible to then thwart the devil. You know why he did it? Because he knew it, and he loved it. Granted, it was his word, but he knew it. You know, the word of God is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I think sometimes what happens is whenever we are reading God's word, it's like a mirror. It's a mirror. It shows us maybe areas in our lives that we need to be doing better, that we need to be fixing. But that's the Lord speaking to us. You know, I always tell folks, you know, it's so important that you read your Bible and pray every day, kind of like the kids' song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. It's that same principle. When you're reading this book every day, and you're praying, you're going to grow. When you read God's word, that is God speaking to you. And when you pray, that's you speaking to God. And it's a relationship that you should have. It's a relationship based on obedience if you're reading God's word and we're commanded to. But it's that relationship. I'll give you the example. Let's say, my wife and I, we love each other. And let's say I don't go, I get up in the morning, sit down, eat breakfast that she's made for me. And she's done all this stuff for me. And then I don't say a word to her. Say nothing, absolutely nothing. And she's like, okay, well, maybe he's just, not had his coffee yet. And then we're going on through the day, and she's like, he hasn't said a word to me. What's going on? Is he feeling okay? And she'll probably even ask me, are you okay? And you don't say a word to her. In any relationship, it goes both ways, right? So whenever we're neglecting to spend time with God, we're not strengthening our relationship with God. Whenever we go a day without reading the Bible, guess what? We're making a choice. Lord, this isn't important to me. And, I've realized over the years, and when I was a teenager, I wasn't faithful in reading my Bible. I wasn't. I'll be the first one to tell you. And there's days even now that, you'll get up in the morning and I'll get showered and everything and then just start doing stuff and like, I haven't read my Bible. You know what helps me is to have a certain time of day that I just stop and read God's word. And it's normally first thing in the morning. There's nothing better than coffee in the Bible. But I cannot afford, we cannot afford to go a day without reading this book. Yeah. We can't afford it. You know why? Because Satan, as soon as he knows, he's on it. He's like, they haven't read their Bible. They're not clinging to the promises of God. They're not being obedient. I'm going to jump all over this. And he's then on the attack. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we love God's word, guess what we're going to want to do? We're going to want to live it and obey it every single day. Yep. And I'm so thankful for his word. But I want us to also see a love for God's word. It brings blessings. I'm so thankful. In verse 7, it says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that being God's word, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that's the key word, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Prosperity is a measurement of success in our society today. How much money you have, how many, fancy cars you have in your garage, how big your bank account is. The world views prosperity that way. However, God doesn't view it that way. God views prosperity as when you're in this book, when you're spending time with him. And guess what? Then he will prosper you. He will give you blessings. And you know what? I'd much rather have the blessings of God than the blessings that I've maybe done for myself, because guess what happens? That becomes pride. When you say, I've done this myself, this has been something that I've accomplished, something I've done. But when it's God that's done it, we can just say, it's the Lord. And I'm so thankful that our God does that. When we love his word, we get the success that only God could give. And I want that more than anything. Turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 18 with me, if you would. I'm going the wrong direction. Okay. 2 Kings. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break it in pieces, the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And I love verse 6 and 7. It says, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. You know what I love about Hezekiah here in this passage? In verse 6 and 7, it says what? He clave to the Lord. You know what we were talking about this morning? Cleaving to the Lord, cleaving to his promises, that he never fails. And it says, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Kept his commandments. You know what that means? That means he was obedient. He was obedient to what God had commanded him to do. And it says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered. You know why? Because he got rid of the false gods. He got rid of all the high places. You know why? Because he dwelt on the Word of God. You know, when we cleave to someone, we're displaying a love for them. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says, Adam claved unto his wife, and they were one flesh. When we're clinging to the promises of God, when we're being obedient to Him, when we're in His Word, guess what we're doing? We're cleaving to the Lord. You know what? The more we spend time with the Lord, guess what? The more we start to love Him. And the more we start to love Him, the more we start to become like Him. Oh, to be like Thee. I love that hymn. Oh, to be like Thee. When you love God's Word, you're going to have the Lord with you and have His prosperity. You know, when I was in college, obviously when you're in college, you have a desire to have a wife. That was like the one, you know, that was always like, not, it was, I guess the nice way of saying it, it was kind of pushed. Hey, you need to find your future wife here at college. Get your degree and find your future wife. Those were your two goals. Well, here, I was a junior in college, and I didn't have anyone, and I didn't have anyone that I was interested in, but you know, my wife, I met her over the summer. Her brother and I are very good friends, even still to this day. And met her, and I was like, wow, she's a godly girl. She loves to serve. And at that point in my life as a Christian, I wasn't being faithful like I should be in being in God's Word. And that summer, the Lord convicted me, the summer before my junior year, about being in God's Word, being faithful to Him. And I said, you know what? I just need to do it. So I was faithful in my devotions. I was faithful in praying and spending time with the Lord. And I prayed that, Lord, if Sarah is the one for me, that you would just work it out, that you would take care of it. I'm trusting you for it. And the Lord blessed me with that. I had to wait a few years, but the Lord still blessed me with that because I have an awesome and amazing wife who loves to serve and loves to be obedient to the Lord. Our goal should not to love the world, but to love the Word of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I want our testimony to be this. In Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I want to encourage you this morning, this week, as you're doing your devotions, don't just read a chapter. Read until the Lord shows you something, whether it's something in your life or it's an encouragement or a promise, and then write it down and carry that with you as you're going throughout the day and just meditate on it. Think about it. Man, maybe it's a promise that the Lord will never leave you. Lord, I know you're never going to leave me. I'm going through a hard time right now. I'm going through a trial. I just, yes, this promise is so needful. This is what I needed today. Have you ever had someone send you a verse or write you a card that, and you read it and they maybe share a verse and you're like, that's exactly what I needed today. We need to have a love for God's word. Church, if we're going to grow, we need to have a love for God's word. If we're going to see the Lord do wonders in our church, we have to have a love. And that's all of us, myself included. We all have to have a love for God's word. You know, when we love God's word and meditate on it, then and only then will we see prosperity and success. What a promise. And let's turn back to Joshua chapter 1. And I just want to remind us, because the Lord reminded Joshua more than once. He told him when Moses had told him, but then he reminded him again. Just want to encourage us with this morning. Verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We need to cling to God's promises, be obedient to him, and then we'll see the Lord bless us and bless our church. And he gets all the honor and glory for it, not us. It's all him. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful this morning just to be able to hear from your word. Father, we're so thankful that you have provided a more sure word for us. Father, that we can daily dwell on your promises. Father, that we can know what you would have for our lives, to be obedient to it. Father, that we would have a desire for you to just bless us and just not serve you just to receive blessings, Father, but to serve you because it's what we're supposed to do and because it's what's right. And we know you take care of us. We know you always provide for us, no matter what the situation is, no matter the circumstance. Father, we're just so thankful for you. Pray that there's someone here this morning that's not been faithful in your word. Father, they would get that taken care of this morning. They'd get that settled. Pray, Father, that if there's someone here that's not been obedient like they should, that they would confess that, make it right, and have their relationship right with you. We're just so unbelievably blessed for the church that you've provided for us, and just so thankful for you, Father, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so we have just a few minutes before the morning service. It's good to see